Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast.
Party!
I am Bacardi editor John T. Mark, and I'm joined once again by football writer Sibonge Seni Gumbi. Welcome, Sibonge Seni.
Hey, John T. Good day, and good day to the listeners as well.
Conspicuous by his absence. Again, is Seponso Lengue, although he is on leave, so let's give him some due grace. He will be back in the next couple of weeks. But for now, it's just me and Sibonge Seni, and we will be touching on all the stories emerging in South African football this week, or at least as many as we can. We're going to start with Kaizer Chiefs, who have been busy apparently in the transfer market and in the coaching transfer market, if you believe the reports that have come out. Nasreddine Nabi is apparently going to be, or is apparently high on the Chiefs' shortlist, to be a new Chiefs coach replacing Arthur Zwane, the current head coach, although there is talk that Zwane will remain on the coaching staff. Firstly, Sibonge Seni, for all the talk about the project and about Chiefs wanting Zwane to stay and believing in him, it doesn't seem from these reports that they actually do. It seems like they're looking to get Chiefs a new head coach in time for the start of next season.
Yeah, it's worrying, you know, John T, because you'd feel that they've learnt their lessons. They can't keep doing this. Every season they're changing a coach. They are fast becoming a cheaper, you know. Although they don't change them as many times as cheaper, but every season it seems Chiefs will have a new coach. Because even Nabi now, he's won a double treble in Tanzania. But if he doesn't win anything at Chiefs next season, by the end of the season, we'll be hearing the same calls again from the supporters. And it seems management are giving the supporters too much of a voice in the club now. They are able to determine who should stay and who should go. Because I really feel that Zwane deserves a second chance, at least buy him quality players, not the kind of players that we've heard about so far. You know, the way players that Chiefs were linked with, good players, but we've heard one is going to Sundowns already. So, you know, they need to start really investing in good players and not just waiting for these free transfers as they do now.
Yeah, I mean, when Chiefs, you know, when you look at Chiefs and they've gone 9, I lose count, but 8 years now, I think, and counting without a single trophy. Yeah. And you look at the amount of coaches they've had in that time, which is plenty.
Seven.
There you go. Is there not a reason to point a little bit higher up in the Chiefs hierarchy, if you like, point at management, point at the way the club is run in terms of, you know, is it a well-run? Obviously, we know off the field they're the most popular club in the country. They're they have the best support base in the country, or the biggest. But on the field, is there a problem with the way the club's being run generally, but by the management structures? Is there a problem that too many members of the Motaung family are running the club? What is your feeling about the way Chiefs are being run in general?
Yeah, I think that's a problem, John T. You know, they seem to have lost it. I was hoping, because I had heard that Kaizer Senior will step in and take charge for this transfer window, so that he brings the club back where it should be, because his kids don't seem to have found the right formula yet. You look at, we just did now, a feature on the flops that they've signed from outside the country. You know, almost every player the Chiefs have brought in the past, 6, 7, 8 years have been flops. You know, even locally, they haven't really found the right players. Billiard was a big name when he came to Chiefs, but he got there. They didn't really light up the scene. Sphelele Ntshangase, you remember the fanfare when he joined. He was a big player with Bafana Bafana, but he got to Chiefs, couldn't really ignite the form that he had. Even Kigan Doli, he's not the same Kigan Doli. Yes, he's trying. You can see that he's trying. He works hard, but he's not the same Doli. So I don't know what the problem is. I don't think it's the coaching. I don't know. Maybe management need to start looking at themselves and try to find what is really the problem there, because you can't have this situation. You know, it's bad. It's really not good for South African football. It's not good for Kaizer Chiefs as a club.
So look, yeah, I mean, looking at the players that Chiefs have brought in, let's go there, in terms of heading into the new season, are any of them really going to improve the side? I mean, we've seen now this, a player from Venezuela, Castillo, who's been strongly linked, but as you said, the foreigners that have come in have not necessarily done well, or haven't, most of them haven't done well. Do you see anyone that, Chiefs have signed as a, this so far as a player that will strengthen the squad?
Yeah, I think, given Simango, he's young, he's a good defender. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He takes responsibility. He knows what he's walking into. Also, Tatayawone, he's been the captain of Botswana. Mm. He knows the pressure. He knows what it means to go there. So they'll add that steel that Botswana needed at the back, because, like I said, but the problem is you never guaranteed if they'll work. Just even look at Njabulo Ngcobo. I just remembered now that they had Njabulo Ngcobo coming from Swallows, best defender of the season, got to Chiefs. The mistakes he's making are embarrassing. That's why he's not even in the starting lineup. So I was hoping that Zwane, with these two defenders now, would have at least a solid defense added to Dove, who's been doing well. You know, they could build on that. And then in the middle, we hear that they've signed to Duduzi Mtantsane. Mm. Great player, he's creative, he brings that creativity, he can take that bit of pressure off Dolly and then provide that outlet for Chiefs when they're in attack, when they're in transition from defense, then he can link up there and then lead Dolly to also have some freedom to, you know, not carry the team alone, you know. And then he can also slow the game down, because I think one of Chiefs' problem last season was that they were too fast when they were in attack, you know. They just... from defense to attack, it took them like 3 seconds to get into the other box, which sometimes doesn't work, because that's why maybe their strikers were exposed for their lack of finishing, you know, prowess, because maybe the balls were coming in too quickly to them. So Tanzania brings that little bit of dimension in that midfield, you know, to have a different play, to hold play down, you know, and slow things down a little, and make sure that players get into positions before they can pass the ball. Yeah, and that's those so far. The ones, I don't know about this Castillo. I've never seen him play. And looking up his statistics, I was not impressed. He's never really managed to stay at one club for more than 2 years, you know. And, you know, they say he's a defensive midfielder, and you worry because he'll need time to settle in. Firstly, I don't think he speaks English, so that's going to be the first problem. Then he needs to adapt. And you know the fans, if you come to a big club like Chiefs, you need to hit the ground running. You can't have time to settle. And Chiefs had the option of Sibongiseni Mthethwa at Stellenbosch. He's a local boy. He knows the pressure. He grew up, he knows Chiefs, he knows what it means. He's been doing well. He could be a better solution for me. And age-wise as well, he's younger, he's 28, when this Castillo guy is 30, 31. So it's, I don't know who's making these decisions at Chiefs. But it seems to me that, again, it's about saving money and going for these free transfers, because Castillo himself is free. And, you know, so, yeah, it seems what it is. We don't know. We'll see.
Yep, we will see. It's not all doom and gloom, though, given Sibongiseni's view there on some of the transfers. And we'll see if Nabi comes in, if Nasreddine Nabi does come in. Can he do a job? Well, only time will tell there. Moving on to the CAF Champions League. There was a South African winner in the CAF Champions League. It was not Mamelodi Sundowns, who were knocked out by Wydad Casablanca in the semi-finals. But it was Percy Tau, Bafana Bafana, and Al Ahly star at the moment, Percy Tau, whose 5 goals and 5 assists were prominent in Ali's run to the title. He scored a header in the first leg. In the second leg, he didn't, but he was part of an Al Ahly team that managed to get out a 1-1 draw at the Stade Mohammed V in Casablanca. Some thuggish scenes there from from the stands, with players being pelted. So that was a little bit of a shadow over the game, if you like. Not a great thing for African football to see that. But yeah, in the end, Al Ahly winning an 11th Champions League title, by far the most successful team in the history of the continental game, the club game. And Tau, some lovely visuals coming out of yeah. of Morocco, of him dancing after the game, and obviously he's really done himself and well South Africa by proxy credit. Nice to see him also wrapped in the South African flag as the team were presented with the trophy. Sibongiseni Tau, really a brilliant revival from his injury problems at Ali, which threatened really. I mean, when I was, I think earlier this year even, there was talk of him being offloaded as quickly as possible. But now it may well be that he stays. It may be that he gets another move to Europe because he's 29 now, I think. Yeah, he's 29, and this is possibly his final sort of big money contract, unless he gets a chance to go to Saudi Arabia, which seems to be the place to go at the moment, late in your career. But, I mean, this is a chance for a big move for him. So what do you think about Tau and his all his achievements? And he's, you know, I mean, he's a true success story now, isn't he, in terms of our exports overseas?
Tau is a good story. I like the video, as we talk of the videos, one where this Al Ahly official says, "I love you, man." And you could see he wanted to hold him and just hug him, but he knew he had to be professional at some point and not do that. But the way he said that, "I love you, man," you know, it tells you how big Tau is in that club at the moment. And hopefully they'll give him a better deal, you know, because he seems to be enjoying himself. And Egypt is a good place because of the lifestyle there. So it sort of gives him more time to focus on football and less on other things. So it's a good environment. And I see that there's a growing number of South African players there. So it's good to see. And for Tau to be revived like that, it shows that he got a coach who also believes in him, because he brings that something different. Him and Dieng bring sort of a bit of flair into the Al Ahly team, because you could see that when Al Ahly are trying to unlock that defense and they can't, they just take the ball to Tau and encourage him to take them on, you know, and they feed off the second balls when they dispossess him. So he's a good player for them. Like, the team could be built around him, you know, because it's an aging team, but he's also in his prime in terms of South African football at 29, because our players mature late. So he's now found himself. You can see he's got that confidence. He knows he's a big player now. He plays like a big player, which will be good for us as well as South Africa, as Bafana Bafana, especially next year in January when we go to Ivory Coast. So it's a good thing for Tau. It's very good to see him that happy, enjoying himself and believing in himself again.
Yeah, it really is nice to see Tau back to his best, and hopefully he can bring that not just to the AFCON, but to this Saturday when Bafana turn out at FNB Stadium against Morocco in an Africa Cup of Nations qualifier. Both teams already qualified, so there should be a bit of a celebratory atmosphere about the game. I saw a report suggesting that 40,000 tickets plus had already been sold, but we'll see. We'll see how full the stadium is to on Saturday. I mean, we all know that Bafana have had a problem with match attendance at home in particular. Roman Williams this week was not backwards about coming forwards about the fact that he thinks the team deserve a bit more support, given that they've now qualified for an AFCON. We'll see if that might be borne out in the stands on Saturday. Morocco are a high-profile opponent, which would also be attractive, no doubt, to fans buying tickets. You've got the team that finished fourth at the World Cup. Hugo Broos keeps saying they finished third. They didn't. They finished fourth. But anyway, they finished fourth at the World Cup, but they did brilliantly. And obviously they got some top players like Ashraf Hakimi, Hakim Ziyech, and many others who we're hoping to see strut their stuff, along with Bafana's stars, including Percy Tau, who of course has been a bright spot for Bafana, over the last few years. I mean, remember his two goals that qualified, Stuart Baxter's Bafana for the AFCON in 2019. And at one point he looked like pretty much the only guy who could score for Bafana. Now it's a bit more optimistic in that outlook. You've got Lyle Foster, of course, who scored twice, against Liberia at home. You've got, Bongi Hlongwane doing well in the US. You've got Zakele Lapasa, who of course scored
last game
in the other game against Liberia. Michlali Mbele, who also scored in that match. You know, it feels like you've just got more routes to goal. Obviously, this is a test in the sense that both teams have qualified, but I don't think Morocco are the type of outfit that want to lose any game. I mean, they're a professional team that you know, will be coming here to stamp their authority on the group, if you like, and say, look, and qualify, you know, even more impressively than they already have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, do you think this is a good test for Bafana? Also, don't you think, Sibongiseni, in the sense that, as Hugo Broos has said, they were thrashed by the world champions, and he didn't feel like they were treated very well after they were thrashed because it was France and it was 5-0 and Mbappe took them to the cleaners, but you know, it wasn't really perspectivized. And then obviously there's the danger here that Morocco come out and give them a bit of a spanking, and again, everyone's a bit pessimistic. What do you think will happen on Saturday?
Yeah, that's why he needs to put out his best team. It's called the best team that, for the first time, you know, I haven't heard anyone complaining about the team that he's selected.
Mm.
So he's got that one right. And I even wrote about it in my column last week that he's starting to bore us because we need something to talk about. So now if he doesn't give us that something to talk about, then, you know, there's no hype about Bafana. But, you know, Morocco, this rivalry between us has been, I think it started before the 2010 World Cup when they lost to us that beat. So they've never really liked us. You know, you knew from the squad they picked, they could have let those players who were, you know, playing in these big leagues rest because it's off season and they've already qualified. You know, they are playing Bafana. So why bring out all the guns, you know, but they brought all the big guns. So it's a big game for Bafana. And I know Bruce is trying to just brush us up that we must not, you know, make too much of the result, but we need to make much of the result because those are the same teams we're going to face in January. So if we can't beat them now, how will we beat them in January? Where will we get the experience to beat them in January? So we need to start beating them now so that when we get there in January, they know that Bafana can beat big teams and we have that respect. And you know, when we play from that perspective of respect from the opponent, you know, you stand a better chance of winning because it's been too long that Bafana have just been, you know, also runs. We need to really show that this time we want to do something. Don't expect them to win the tournament, but at least go as far as out the group stages, maybe into the quarterfinals, into the semifinals. Then, you know, we know we're building something because we've been building too much. You know, Bafana and Kaizer Chiefs are sort of in the same WhatsApp group at the moment, always building, rebuilding. You don't know.
I'm going to disagree with you slightly there in that I've heard quite a few complaints online about the Bafana squad. Certainly some people going on about the fact that Kolisa Mudau should be in the squad. Defender of the season? And then there's also been a couple of football agents. We all know they want to protect their players. Like I said, Mike McCobb saying Kebumelo Kodisang, you can't understand why he's not in the squad. I heard Paul Mitchell was not happy that Gift Links wasn't in the squad. Yeah. But you're always going to have some people not happy that their player or the player they like is not in the squad.
But all those players, I think they were given a chance. And you know, people need to understand that coaches have their own players. Once had Chicks Mashaba picking Tamsanga Kabuza from Pirates when he wasn't even playing at Pirates. From the NFD, and they did well at Bafana, you know. So it doesn't mean that if a player is doing well in his club, then automatically qualifies for Bafana.
No, totally. I mean, Nico like Mobi would be the standout here with Bruce. I mean, but has he done anything wrong? He's not done anything wrong since he was picked by Bruce.
He's been doing well for Bruce. In fact, Mudau was picked for one of the games and he didn't really impress at Bafana. So you understand why Bruce would want to stick with Nico Mobi because when he started, Nico Mobi was there. So they have that understanding going. So, you know, Mudau, yes, he's been doing well for Sundowns, winning that defender of the season, but no, different strokes for different folks. So,
And encouraging certainly to see today and Jabulo Blom and Percy Tau. I think they're the last two players to arrive in camp. So both are in camp. Blom has come all the way from the US to play for Bafana. Well, we'll see. Hopefully he'll get a game in the central midfield, or we'll get to see some of what he's developed and grown in the US at St. Louis. And Percy Tau, obviously everybody wants to see him play. So an exciting game in the offing for South Africa, a real test against Morocco. If you haven't got your tickets, there are still tickets available. We all know that FNB Stadium is a big 80,000 capacity stadium. But 40,000 tickets have been sold. Maybe we can get some more sold. Go along and support Bafana and let's see what they can do on Saturday. Okay, that's it for now. Please do like us on Facebook @Pakati. with three A's. Follow us on Twitter at Pakati, also with three A's, and get your copy of Pakati, the Pakati supplement, free when you buy the Citizen newspaper on a Tuesday. We'll see you next time. Thank you to Sibongiseni for joining me as usual. And, yeah,
cheers.
Take care and see you next week, where we will be looking back on Bafana's win over Morocco, hopefully. Cheers. See you later.